Good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Elaine B., and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. Today's date is Thursday, December 19th, 2024. Won't be able to say that for very long. Today we are reading from the Big Book, and we are on page 66, paragraph 2, which begins with, "If we were to live," and ends with, "These things are possible." Today's readers are Kathy B. for the 12 Steps, Kelly H. for the 12 Traditions, Margaret D. will read and comment on our text, Kira L. will read 164, and Shelley E. is here for backup. We also have Yvonne A. to greet our newcomers, and Leslie M. to close us out with some important announcements. DOA preamble. Oops. Let me give you the reference number for yesterday's 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time meeting, which is 22008. That's 22008. And the reference number for this morning's 7 a.m. Eastern Standard Time meeting is 22010. 22010. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We're self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. And I will now ask Kathy B. to please read the 12 steps of OA.
Good morning. My name is Kathy B. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater, and I'm very grateful to be here this morning. And I live in Oklahoma. Step one, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10. Continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12. Having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you for allowing me to do service this morning. I pass.
Thank you so much, Kathy B. And I'll now ask Kelly H. to please read the 12 traditions of OA.
This is Kelly H. from North Carolina, and I'm done yelling at my dogs. My apologies, everyone. These are the 12 traditions. Tradition one, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Three, the only requirement for OA membership is a design to stop eating compulsively. Four, Each group should be autonomous, except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5. Each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6. An OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA, as such, ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. And 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you. With that, I'll pass.
Thank you so much, Kelly H. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature and stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we're discussing and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There's no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We're sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. To have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book. We are on page 66, paragraph 2. And I will now ask Margaret D. to please begin reading for us.
Hey, everybody. Good morning. If we were to live, we had to be free of anger. The grouch and the brainstorm were not for us. They may be the dubious luxury of normal men, but for alcoholics, these things are poison. It always amazes me how the author packs so much wisdom and information in such a few amount of words. So for me, the grouch would be holding a grudge, blaming somebody, taking somebody else's inventory. And, you know, after all, it is all about me. So therefore, none of this can be my fault because I wouldn't fill in the blank, or I'm not that kind of person, which flips me to the other side of the brainstorm, which is, again, this is just for me, justification and rationalization. Well, after all, it's, you know, if they hadn't done whatever it was, if they hadn't been in their car, then I wouldn't have hit them or, you know, whatever. I mean, it's just crazy how my brain can come up with this stuff. And not only is it crazy, but sometimes it's just downright funny. One part of my brain is going, it's all their fault and, you know, they're guilty and after all, they're stupid. What did you expect from a Margaret? You know, that kind of thinking. And then on the other hand, I am just wallowing in guilt and shame because, you know, my conscience is letting me know that maybe you should go back and look at this, that really what needs to happen is, you know, I think that maybe whatever the condition is that's going on, like somebody did something to me or whatever, somebody caused my anger, somebody caused my resentment, somebody caused me to be crotchety or whatever. That's the alcoholic thinking. The thinking that I'm trying to practice in all of my affairs is that I need to change myself to meet whatever the condition is. I don't need to try and change the condition, but I need to change how I react to that condition, or, you know, so it took me, oh my gosh, and it still does take me some days forever to sink back into having my thinking directed by my higher power, and that it is removed, that thinking is removed from selfishness, self-pity, resentment, and fear. And it's why I have to do these things on a daily basis. I can't wait till they crop up. I have to, almost like a game of tennis. And I'm going to wrap it up with this. It's like in a game of tennis, I have to be ready for that serve to come to me. I can't wait till it's on my side of the court and then go, oh, I guess I should, you know, pick up my racket. And so with that, I pass.
Thank you so much for getting us started. So who would like to... although we value everybody's experience, we do ask that you limit your share to every third day so that others might have an opportunity to share their experience too. So if you haven't shared in the last couple of days and you'd like to comment today, please give me your name and number. Star 1 to unmute.
Karen Casey in Missouri.
Sharon
Robin
in
Robin P. in Costa Rica.
I heard Robin P. and someone came in before.
Los Angeles.
Karen Casey in Missouri.
I got Karen Casey and Robin P. and Susan G. But somebody else came in right. Hold on just a second. Somebody came in right after Karen C. Who was that?
Liz in New Hampshire.
Liz in New Hampshire. And what's the first initial of your last name, Liz?
Oh, it's S as in Sam.
Okay. And I heard more people. I heard a gentleman. So I've got Karen K., Liz S., Robin P., Susan G., and who was the gentleman I heard?
Ian F.
Ian F., and then was there somebody else who wanted to get into this lineup? Okay, great. Well, we'll have time for plenty more shares after this. So Karen Z., please share with us, and you'll be followed by Liz S.
Hi, this is Karen Casey in Missouri, gratefully recovered. I thought we were on the earlier meeting was on the previous paragraph, but it doesn't matter. I can share on either one. This paragraph was so astounding for me today when I listened to the shares on the earlier meeting. And I just want to thank everybody in this group who shares, because you transformed my life. I mean, the book says things, but when you share your shares, they just totally take me to another place, and I just feel so grateful for that. And this whole thing about resentment and anger, and I just can't have that. And today I woke up, as I typically do, because, you know, I'm not done yet. Today is our 60th wedding anniversary, and I have these resentments keeps coming up about some part of my family who doesn't tend to remember things. And I'm like, they're not going to remember, and you know. And then I'm remembering, you know, I love him more today than I ever have, but it wasn't always that way. And I thought about going back over the memories. Let's get the album out. Let's look at all the pictures. And I thought, no, what I'm so grateful for today is the recovery I have and the way that I see the gift of the love that I have for him and he has for me and how incredible that is. I always want to go back and bring up the other stuff. Yes, but da 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 da. And that's what this program does for me. It just reminds me to just be in this moment and be grateful for this moment. It's not, you know, we do clean up. I have to clean up, by the way. I already have to clean up today because I started thinking that way. And it's like, I want to stay in the moment and just be aware of the love that I feel for him, him for me, and the love I feel for the world and the way that God blesses my life. So with that, I pass. Thank you.
Okay, we're keeping the same lineup, but guess what, friends? I gave you the sneak preview for tomorrow. I actually made an error here in what we're going to read. And if you wouldn't mind, I'm going to ask Shelley E., if you're available, would you please read, you don't need to comment on it, but read on paragraph 1, Shelley, are you available for that? Or maybe Margaret D could come back on.
I am. Tell me again the page.
Thanks,
I'm
Shelley.
So sorry. I stepped away.
Okay.
What was the page?
Page 66, the first full paragraph. My deep regrets to everybody.
It's plain?
It is plain. Yes, that's
okay.
It. That one paragraph, please.
Gotcha. Okay, here we go. Page 66, the big book. I'm Shelley E., a recovered compulsive overeater in Arlington, Texas. It's plain that a life which includes deep resentment leads only to futility and unhappiness. To the precise extent that we permit these, do we squander the hours that might have been worthwhile. But with the alcoholic, whose hope is the maintenance and growth of a spiritual experience, this business of resentment is infinitely grave. We found that it is fatal. For when harboring such feelings, we shut ourselves off from the sunlight of the spirit. The insanity of alcohol returns, and we drink again. And with us, to drink is to die. Wow, what a paragraph. And so you asked me just to read that, right?
Yeah, if you'd like to comment, you can, and then we'll go with the lineup that we have, okay?
Oh, okay. I'll comment really quickly just because what a treasure trove of a paragraph. I have it underlined about 15 times. It is plain that a life which includes deep resentment leads only to futility and unhappiness. And until this program, I didn't realize how deep resentment ran and also my responsibility for that. I love that there is a warning in here. We found that it is fatal. That for me is, and for you know what I know it to be true for myself, that it is fatal. I was definitely going down the wrong path, and it does shut me from the sunlight of the spirit. And so, at any point during the day, and I appreciated that the last sharer said, "I've already gotten myself in trouble. I myself am in that boat right now." After the meeting, I am. To be making a 10-step. So it does shut me off. Anytime that I have that uncomfortable rolling in the stomach or those thoughts of injustice, thoughts of being critical, it does nothing but shut me away. It turns my face away from the sunlight. And so my goal in program is to stay going toward the sunlight of the spirit every day. As much as I can, I am human, and what I know to be true from my from you guys is the insanity of alcohol will return, and I will drink again if I do not work this program to the utmost of my ability. And we have one more warning here: with us, to drink is to die. I mean, how much more clearer can it be made? With that, I'll pass. And thanks for the surprise bonus for today. Have a good day.
Well, thank you so much, Shelley E. And again, my sincere apologies. Margaret D., you had a great share. With that, if you had a comment you'd like to make, I invite you to do that, and we'll take the lineup that we had after that, and hopefully people can adjust to this. If not, just say pass. Okay. All right, well, then let's kick off with Karen KZ, if you'd like to share, and followed by Liz S.
I already shared.
Oh, goodness, I'm so sorry. It threw me off realizing this right in the middle of that, Karen KZ. Thank you so much. Wow, I'm batting 1,000 today. Happy New Year. Okay, Liz S. You're up next, followed by Robin P.
Hi, it's Liz S. from New Hampshire. And I really respect Bill for his language in this paragraph, because it is precisely what this disease is about, insanity and fatal. And if I pick up and I eat, I'm putting my life at risk. And that's the truth. And I don't hear that enough, but I am. And also anger, when I'm angry, I then allow myself to justify all sorts of irresponsible and unreasonable actions because I'm right and you're wrong. My anger, you know, gives me that permission. It's completely irrational and I have to avoid it at all costs. it really is quite remarkable. And I say that not in a positive way, but what anger can do to my personality. You know, I suddenly become the center of the universe, and everyone around me better just darn get out of the way. It's very, very dangerous. So it's something I have to be extremely cautious about. This bill is really bringing home the business of it is infinitely grave for me to be resentful, and I need to be reminded that I have to be free of anger, because this is a deadly disease. It is absolutely deadly, and I can never be reminded of that enough. And I'm glad that we did read this paragraph as well, and I thank you very much for your service and for reading it as well. Thank you. And with that, I pass.
Thank you so much, Liz S. Robin P., you're up next, followed by Susan G.
Hi, I'm Robin P. I'm a very grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater in Costa Rica. And thank you so much, Elaine, and everyone for your service. And, oh, my gosh, it's such a... Oh, my gosh, I have it so underlined. A life which includes deep resentment leads only to futility and unhappiness. And the business of resentment is infinitely grave. We found that it's fatal. Oh, my gosh. Wow. And I know I need the sunlight of the spirit. And with us, to eat is to die. And, I am so eternally grateful. I'm coming up on 9 years of abstinence, one day at a time, by God's grace and mercy. And I was such a low bottom, bulimic. And it's just a miracle. And still resentments when I go, but this one's right. No, I can't afford it. It might be right. I might be so right, but I can be right or I can be happy. I can be right or I can be in the sunlight of the spirit. I choose the sunlight of the spirit. So I'm so grateful. I'm on a 10-step WhatsApp group, and there's 500 people on this group, and it's just astonishing. No matter when I have a resentment, I can just, and I have a God squad I'm so grateful for. And I'm so grateful when I get to be of service to someone and have that miracle of listening to someone's 10 steps. So I know that no matter what, I have a solution today. And you know what occurred to me recently? I went through something. I produced and sang in a big Christmas concert here, and we did two of them here in Costa Rica. And it sold out, and it was great, really well received. And there was some stuff that came up with some of the other singers that was ego stuff that was really challenging. And I just kept doing 10 steps, and I realized I'm so grateful. I'm not responsible for their behavior. I'm responsible for my reaction. And I just kept doing 10 steps, and I was as sane as I possibly could be in those circumstances. And, I'm just so grateful. And I kept thinking, I already did a 10 step. I don't need to do another one. But the obsession, that mental obsession, was coming back. And I just thought, okay, well, however many times it takes. Sometimes it takes me 3 times till I get to peace about something, where someone will say something or pray for me or something, where I'll say, oh, wow, that's so helpful, thank you. And then it's, and I'm back to even. And I'm eternally grateful that I have a solution today. And one last thing I wanted to say is that recently I realized, I had this new realization that sometimes I'll sit with something until I feel like, well, I better be more at peace before I call somebody. And I just realized, no, it's immediately. I'm not supposed to wait till I work it through and then I can show up more peacefully. That's my pride. And also, I know that, positive vulnerability is the antidote to shame. When I'm having feelings, my first response is to feel shame. Like I shouldn't be feeling this. And so if I just let that go, then I can go get the help I need. God bless everybody with a really blessed abstinent day. I'm sending you lots of love, Elaine, and everyone on this meeting. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Robin P. Okay, Susan G., you're up next, followed by Ian F.
Thank you, Elaine. Good morning, everybody. Susan G. in Los Angeles, where I'll just say the sun is shining today, and it's shining on this meeting too. What I thought of with the paragraphs was, you know what, the spiritual life isn't a theory, we have to live it, and I love how we all band together. For me, what came up, read this many, many times over the decades, but here we are going into the holiday season. Perhaps you celebrate, perhaps you don't, but either way, it can be a tense time of year. For me at work, it's year end, finishing work today, or actually tomorrow at noon, family stuff, all that going on, and I have to remember what deep resentments will do. They only lead me to futility and unhappiness. And for people like me, my only hope, and I have only written above whose hope I have only written, is the maintenance and growth of a spiritual experience, and how infinitely grave, and as has been mentioned, there are so many warnings in here. And it always takes me back to page one of Bill's story, ominous warning, which I failed to heed. If I behave badly over the holidays, I don't get my own way, my stepmother gives me a look that I don't think is the way she should be looking at me, who's losing out? Only me. Of the joy of being with my dad, my nephews here from England, so I cannot shut myself off from that sunlight of the spirit. And then that obsession, which has been lifted now through the grace of God for so long, will come back again. It's always ready. It never, ever gives up. Never charges me anymore for membership. So this is really a time when I read this as well to really practice these principles in all my affairs. Every meeting goes on over the holidays. Nothing changes. Christmas Eve, Christmas Day, New Year's Eve, New Year's Day, Valentine's Day, whatever it is, we are still here together. So I will be on every meeting I always go to, and I hope that you will be too. And if you are new, welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, and we look forward to getting to know you. Thank you, Elaine. I pass.
Thank you so much, Susan G. Ian F. is up next, followed by Shelley. Oh, we already had Shelley. Okay, Ian F., you're up next. Please share with us.
Thank you. You're doing a great job. My name is Ian F. I'm a compulsive overeater. This paragraph reminded me of something my mother used to tell me, or rather ask me every time I got annoyed as a kid. If I was crying or I was fussing or whatever it was, she would say, "What is anger?" And she would wait until I said, "Lack of acceptance." And I never got it as a kid, but reading this paragraph and thinking about, especially this past year, I've had a very resentful year. And when I came to my step two and I read that piece about God is everything, when I think about that in accordance with resentment, I get angry when I decide that things as they are not correct. When I think things need to be other than they are, I'm essentially telling my higher power, "You're doing shit wrong. Stop." And that never goes well for me, you know, and I love that we stress the grave nature of it, you know, but I want to put a good word in for the futility and unhappiness being a really good warning that I am not turning over my resentments, because a lot of the time, like, I will be resentful without realizing that I'm resentful. And if I feel like I'm useless at work, or I'm falling short as a student in my case, or falling short as a member of my family in some way, and everything that I do feels futile, that's a sign to me, oh, I have a resentment that needs to go away. You know, there's something to do about that. And I love that they put that before the grave, because it's futility and then unhappiness, and then it's the grave nature of it. So love you guys. It's a wonderful meeting. I'll pass.
Thank you so much, Ian F. Okay, although we value everyone's experience, we do ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others might be able to share their experience too. So if you would like to comment on page 66, paragraph 1, which begins with "it is plain" and ends with "us to drink is to die," please give me your name and where you're calling from.
Jeanette T., Washington State.
I heard Jeanette didn't get your last initial. I've got Chanel as well, Chanel T. And
Freya
who else was
H.
that? Freya H. Anybody else? We have time for one or two more, I believe. Okay. So I've got
Barbara W.
Barbara W. Okay. Well, let's stop there. I've got Jeanette. I didn't catch the first initial of your last name. I'm sorry. I've got Jeanette, Chanel, Freya H., Barbara L., I believe it was. And maybe room for one more. Did I hear another name?
Vanessa G.
Vanessa.
That
G.
was Barbara W.
Oh, Barbara W. Okay, great. Okay. Jeanette, I didn't get the first initial of your last name, but please share with us.
Hi, I'm Jeanette G. from Southern California. And thank you. Thank you for your service. And I'm grateful in this program I've learned that I get to be perfectly imperfect because that's how my higher power made me. And yeah, the resentments. I know that, you know, I can have an angry feeling, but if I decide to put, you know, some fertilizer and some, you know, whatever that groom thing that you put in your garden, I can't think of it, Miracle-Grow, and, you know, just keep watering it, like it is going to grow and turn into huge resentment. So I'm grateful for the 10 steps that helped me to, you know, work through that resentment, I mean, that anger, so that it doesn't turn into resentment. And two nights ago, a quote friend of mine who I've known for over 20 years, and she knows I'm in program, she made a comment about my 40-year-old daughter's weight. And I was like, and this woman has gone with me over the years when I've led a meeting, and it OA just wasn't right for her, but now she's on, you know, the miracle drug and blah, blah, blah. So she, you know, was commenting to my daughter's weight, and like, I was shocked, and I was like, yeah, well, you know, whatever. But I got in the car and I started making outreach calls because I was like, what the, you know, and no one answered. So I just left messages and I'm like, when I don't, you know, I made four calls. And when I don't get someone, I know that, you know, God is telling me like, okay, be with me. And so I started talking with God and I'm like, okay, you need to inventory this. And then I heard in a meeting yesterday, hocus pocus, change my focus. And I was like, oh, and actually yesterday I woke up and I was like, ah, yeah, she did that, whatever. You know, it didn't feel as huge, I think, because I had kind of talked it through, even though I still need to inventory. So yeah, if I choose to nurture anger and that, it grows into the resentment, and it's like a big that's going to block me from the sunlight of the spirit. So I'm just grateful for this meeting and for everyone who teaches me how to live with every emotion I have. Thanks so much.
Thank you so much, Jeanette G. Chanel T, you're up next, followed by Freya H.
Thank you, Elaine. This is Chanel T in Washington State. Happy that I am perfectly imperfect today. And thank you, everybody, for your service, including sharing or just being here, because this is a beautiful place to be right here. I'm a grateful compulsive eater. I'm in recovery today by the grace of God. And you know, resent, right? I'm going to re-feel something over, kind of like the toddler watching the movie over and over and over. That's what I do. I replay that in my head over and over, left to my own devices. That is what I will do. And I do eat over it, and it will kill me. It's a very slow and painful way to die. I have a friend dying in this disease. Saw her yesterday. It is bittersweet. Love to see her. I hate the disease, though. Hate the disease. I did attend on a 10th step to clear myself of the feelings I had of resent, of re-feeling. And you know, it always amazes me when I get a sponsee or a fellow who says, you know, I don't get resentment. You're never irritated. You're never annoyed. It never plays over in your head a few times. Wow. Great. It does for me, and I'll eat over that. It will kill me. So it's really important. It's not really important. It's vital that I stick to this script of I'm going to have these, and there for these uncomfortable feelings of injustice that will pull me down. And it won't just pull me down, because I'm going to pull others around me down in some way or another, especially those really close to me, when I'm in the disease. So it is futile and fatal. The good news is, we're getting to the good news in this book, right? The good news is that I do have a power greater than myself, and that I do have a way of living, a design for living, where I don't have to continue ruminating displaying these scenes of injustice and irritation and real resentment over and over in my head. I bring them out into the light by working these steps, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, right? I bring them out into the light with my higher power's help. And I don't have to live in the prison that I've made in my mind anymore. I don't have to. I can have freedom today, and I do, as long as I'm willing to work the steps as they're laid out here. It's an amazing thing. Thank you all for being here with me today as I trudge this road with you. It's a beautiful thing. And I wish everybody a wonderful day. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Chanel T. Freya R., you're up next, and you'll be followed by Barbara W.
Hi, good morning. It's actually Freya H., as in happy.
Oh, Freya H. I'm so sorry.
No problem.
Thank you very much.
That's right. I know there's a Freya R. out there. I'm in Colorado, and I am a very grateful, recovered, compulsive eater, bulimic, restrictor. Thank you so much for beautiful, flexible service. And this is such a great paragraph. Is it plain to me that a life which includes deep resentment leads only to futility and unhappiness? Before I did my fourth step and really understood the ramifications of it, I didn't. It wasn't plain to me. So I love it that we get to look at this from this angle. And what comes to mind here is like, it's so easy to minimize. You know, it's so easy to minimize with the food of like, come on, what's the big deal? What's the big deal? It's only food. It's only a bite. It's only exercise. It's only a little restriction. It's a little obsession. Like, everybody does it. But this paragraph spells it out very clearly and in a very logical order, you know, if I'm minimizing food, I'm in denial about what's going on with me. And then once I put the food down, I understand that, oh yeah, for me to use food is to die spiritually. It's, you know, I do not know if it's going to kill me physically, but I know that it's going to give me this life of this life that's not worth living. It's how I've heard people describe it. This life that's like, man, I don't want to be living this spiritually dead life. So the food is going to kill me. Do I believe the same is true with resentments? And when I see the statements in this paragraph, you know, that I have to, my only hope is the maintenance and growth of a spiritual spirit experience, and that resentment is going to stop that spiritual experience in its tracks. It's going to cut me off from my power source. Then it is infinitely grave, and it is ultimately fatal to the life that I want to live. So what's the big deal? You know, the big deal is that I want a life worth living. The big deal is that once I've experienced the peace and freedom of not having my life dominated by resentment, fear, and self-obsession, I want more of that life. And something that has helped me is, rather than wonder, oh, do I have a resentment? Should I do a 10th step? Is just do it. You know, just do it. And then when I do my nightly review, is there anything I haven't done? Just do it. You know, that's the directions I've been given recently. And it really makes a difference in the way, the clarity and peace and freedom that I feel. And I want more of that. So this stuff works when I actually do it, not when I like think about it, talk about it, learn about it, study it, but when I actually do it. So it's amazing. I love it. Thanks for walking this path with me, and I'll pass.
Oh, thank you so much, Freya H. Really appreciate your share and grace. Okay, Barbara W., you are up next, and you'll be followed by Vanessa.
Thank you very much. Good morning, everyone, and thank you for your service. Oh, boy, I couldn't be hearing the most important part of the big book in my recovery right now. The information, the re-information, the reminders that I continue to get from the big book tell me that there are, number one, there's solutions. I've had a long standing resentment about people who have more money than I do, and that comes from a long time history of my upbringing and hearing it from my parents and things like that. But I've really noticed all the futility of, here I am, 79 years old, and my savings has dwindled down, and I slip into this, has to be my parents' fault, or no one ever helped me learn about the value of money and et cetera, yada, yada, yada. And boy, I wrote down the words about futility and unhappiness. That unfortunately is something that I've tended to wallow in the last few weeks. Is it the holidays? I don't know. Maybe it's because it brings it up and the idea of buying presents for people, and my present won't be as nice as your present kind of thing. And drags me down and keeps me from doing what God intended me to do, which is give someone a call. Say hello. It doesn't matter if I'm having trouble. Say hello. How's the weather where you live? That's the important part of reaching out. And that's how resentments dissipate for me. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Barbara W. Vanessa, you're up next, and please share with us.
Thank you. This is Vanessa G., and I'm recovered compulsive overeater in New Mexico. And, you know, recently I've really been focusing in on the fatality of this disease. And this paragraph is just really clear that you know, our disease is infinitely grave. It's fatal. And the spiritual experience is just the only thing that can heal us. And I wish very much all the time, sometimes I still find myself doing it, trying to wish away resentments, trying to wish away anger, trying to fool myself that I don't harbor those feelings. And it isn't until I fully accept the fact that I do have the feelings and then realize that they actually can kill me because I am a compulsive overeater and I will go back into the food and my disease has progressed to the point that I don't have much longer if I go back into the food, that it makes me willing to actually hear these words. Being cut off from the sunlight of the spirit, you know, spirit being capitalized for me, I know that inner resource that I have found as a result of these steps, that spiritual awakening is the only thing that is keeping me alive today. And with that realization, I have to guard it. And so when I find myself wishing I wasn't angry or trying to push it back down or trying not to acknowledge the fact that I have these feelings, once again, you know, I have to turn to my higher power and ask for the willingness to address these things, to go and do, you know, the step work. And if you're new and you're trying to think to yourself, maybe I don't have, you know, these terrible resentments, just remember, you know, this disease is fatal. It's permanent and it's progressive. And it's not to be a better person necessarily that we're doing this, because that is a side benefit, but it truly is about being able to live and to be able to live free of the food, free of this horrible, progressive, fatal, and permanent disease. Higher power heals us. Spiritual experience heals us, but it's only once we understand the fatality of this disease, or once I understood it. It took me so long to recognize that it really was infinitely grave, and that the way out was being given to me, and on the other side of
thank
that,
a reminder.
The freedom. Thank you, and I pass.
Thank you so much. We do have time for one more share. Somebody would like to take it? Star one to mute.
This is Kelly H. from North Carolina.
Please go ahead, Kelly.
Thank you. I am a compulsive overeater, and this has been such a great meeting for me. I had my own dose of humble pie, and I'm coming back from a relapse, and I just had the most extraordinary talk with a fellow yesterday, and we were unpacking a 10 step, and I just impressed upon me how much I can flirt with the edges of a resentment and forget the fear, forget it that this is the deadly thing. And like an infant crawling over to a viper's nest, you sticking their hand playfully into this hole, I forget. And it's not because I don't have experience. I just forget. And that to me is just completely heinous. But it's not me doing it, the forgetting on purpose. It's the disease, but what is something that I can take action in is anything I just brew on and stew on. But I need to let the flirting business go. For me, it's a weighing and measuring thing. It's a don't let that resentment pile up. If you feel it, you got it. And if I am thinking about it 3 seconds later, or the next time I'm irritated and it's compounded because I have a little history with that circumstance or person, and it's a little more supersonic, that's a resentment. I have trouble labeling it or seeing a spade for a spade. And in part, that's not my fault because it's a disease, but what is my part is giving it over. And I'm very grateful for all the shares today because it is a reminder to get away from the viper's nest. I can take action to do that. I don't want to go back. I don't want to go back. So with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Oh, thank you very much, Kelly H., for taking us out. Really appreciate it. So, we'll now close with a reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Will Kara L. please read A Vision for You? Our book is meant to be suggestive only.
Good morning, this is Kara L., recovered compulsive overeater. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask Him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. Answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with Him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to Him and your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit. And you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.